Good morning. What a joy it is to be together with all of you here. This beautiful, cooler day. I think we're all thankful for the cooler weather. And I'm thankful to be here with all of you. So thanks for being here today here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. Today we have a special privilege, and a special opportunity to recognize our graduates. And we know that not all of them could be here in attendance today, but we do have some of them here. And so what we're going to do this morning, very briefly, is we're going to take a moment just to recognize them. And so I want to ask all of the 8th graders that are completing 8th grade and moving into high school and those high school graduates to please come up. If we have any college graduates here joining us, please come up as well. But yes, guys, please come join me. All right. Here, you guys can come over here and form a line. Yeah, Michael Tam is not able to join us today. But thinking back, you know, all of these people behind me, they've grown up as a part of this church family. And many of their relatives are here today. Many of you sitting here, you've seen them, you've helped them. God has used you to help them to grow, to be young men and women that love and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, before we introduce each one of these students, church, I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for your prayer. I want to thank you in advance for your continued prayer and your continued encouragement as you continue to walk alongside these students as they move into the next season of their lives, whether that's high school, whether that's college, or beyond. I challenge you, church, to continue to pray for them. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Pray for their love and devotion to our Lord and Savior to grow and grow day by day. Pray that their lives, that all that they are and all that they do, bring glory to God. And so I challenge you and I encourage you, dear church, to continue to pray with me for each one of them. And I want to thank you for how you have been such an integral part in their lives. And so this is what I'm going to ask them to do. There's not many of them. But I'm going to ask them to come up here, partly because I'm sick and I can't speak very well. But I'm going to ask them just to share their name. And when they come up, when the graduate comes up, if you are, excuse me, if you are their parents, aunts, uncles, relatives, cousins, to any of these graduates, when they come up here, I want to ask you to stand, all right? While they're up here, they're just going to share their name. They're going to share where their next season of life is going to be as a student. And for our 8th grade promoter, he's going to just share what he's looking forward to about this season of high school. So we'll start with our high school graduates, and we'll start here.
Hello. My name is Alton Zhang, and I'll be graduating from Bear Gwater High School, which I've been to for the last 4 years. And in the fall, I plan to go down to the University of Arizona down in Tucson in order to pursue studies in aerospace engineering. Thank you.
Okay. Alton. Congratulations. Here's a gift for you.
Oh, for me?
For you high school graduates, as some of you may know, my dear mother-in-law has made personalized towels for each high school graduate. And so, Alton, I don't really like the colors, but whatever school you're going to, we'll be praying for you.
Thanks,
I'm just
really
kidding. Bad. You're going to U of A. Congratulations.
Actually, I'm Marcy Leong. My mom's right there.
Lori, please stand.
I'm going to be going to the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, to study engineering.
Congratulations, Marcy.
Hi, my name is Sarah Long. My parents are Tim and Alicia Long. My little sister is FaceTiming them right now from Texas. I will be graduating from Horizon High School and Paradise Valley High School, and I will be attending in the fall Arizona State University, majoring in biological sciences. Thank you.
Congratulations, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right. My name is Lucas Lowe. My parents are Shamway and Jackie right there. And I'm going to be going to high school freshman. Excited for that. And I'm excited to try new classes, meet new people, and have fun, basically. Thank you.
All right. Hey, congratulations. Got a gift for you. Okay, graduates, I want to have you stand up here in front right now because we want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you guys gather around, but I'm going to ask you, church, to stand up as these guys are standing before us. You can stand in front of the table. All right, if you could, please join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise you. We know that every good and perfect gift is from you, and God, we know you have planned, you have created these dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, these students, these sons, these daughters, these ones that we love and care for so deeply. And God, we are so excited for what you have in store for them in this new season of their academic careers, this new season of their lives. God, I pray that as they go out from today, that they would be able to stand firm upon your truth, that they would be able to stand firm in their faith, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what temptations come their way, no matter what messages are being sent to them. I pray, God, that they would always be able to stand firm upon your word, that they would always be able to hold on to their relationship with you, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that as they go out, as they make new friends, as they meet new people, as they go out, as they interview, as they study and learn, as they grow and mature, I pray, God, that they would put you first. I pray, God, that they would desire you, that they would seek you first, seek your kingdom, that you would be their heart's desire, that you would be their source of hope, their source of joy, of contentment, that you, God, would remind them of who they are in you, and that their identity doesn't come from their accolades or their failures, but their identity comes from you alone. And God, I pray that you would use them in a mighty way to further your kingdom, to proclaim the name of Jesus, that people may be saved. And so God, I pray for my dear fellow church members as well. Help us to be diligent in prayer. Help us to seek to how we can continue to build them up and encourage them towards the things that you have created for them to do. And God, we are just so thankful. We are just so excited, and so we ask for your blessing to be upon them. God, give them strength, give them wisdom, and God, help them to be thankful, knowing that this life that we live here on this earth is not the end. But one day, God, we will be with you face to face. And until that day comes, we look forward to that day. And we give our all, God, for your glory. And so we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give our graduates another hand. You guys can sit down. Well, I want to share with you from God's Word today. And I want to ask you this question. I know if you look in your bulletin, there's an outline that you guys can follow along with. And you all can read the title of today's message. We're continuing this series of questions that God asks. And the question for today is, what is in your hand? But I want to ask you this, before we get into it. Have you ever dreamed of living a life of great significance and influence? Anybody? Anybody ever dreamed of living a life of great significance and influence? Nobody. Okay. All right. I'm raising my hand. I have dreamt of living a life of great significance and influence, and I still dream for that and of that. How many of you have desired to be a part of making a difference for something greater than yourselves, to being a part of a greater cause? I have. I still do. Oh, thanks, Tracy. This is a message. How many of you are familiar with this name, Truett Cathy? Anybody? Does it ring a bell? All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, Truett Cathy is the founder of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. And the only reason I'm sharing this with you this morning is because this weekend I was thinking about what I want to eat, and I was thinking about Chick-fil-A. And I started looking on their website, and I started reading the history of Chick-fil-A, and I learned so much about Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A. And just to share really briefly with you, Chick-fil-A started in Georgia in 1946. Truett Cathy started this restaurant with 10 stools and 4 little small tables to now having over 2,000 stores, restaurants across the world. And not only that, but Chick-fil-A, as you may know, is one of the 10 most lucrative fast food chains in all of America. And they close on Sunday. But as I was looking at this information, as I was reading the website, this was not the most astonishing thing, the most impressive thing that stood out to me. It wasn't the monetary gain. It wasn't the success of Chick-fil-A. It was more about the person. What I learned about Truett Cathy as the man. This is a man, Truett Cathy. And I want to share this quote with you. On the website, there was a testimony from an adult who grew up working at a Chick-fil-A at one point in time, working for Truett Cathy and knowing the family personally. And he shares this, and I want to read it to you, and it's on the slide. And you can't read it because it's small. I can read it from the back. No, I can't. Okay. But I want to show it to you anyway, because I'm just going to read it out loud. This is a testimony from a man who grew up knowing Truett Cathy. And he shared this. Truett taught me all about being third. Truett lived by a principle that never put himself first or second. First place, he reserved always and forever for God. God is first. Truett's second place was always held for others, his family, his church, employees, neighbors, and friends. They came in second. Truett Cathy made me feel like the most important person in his life. Nope, as it turns out, I wasn't that special at all. I just happened to be second to an amazing man who dedicated his life and perfected being third. Thank you, Truett, for teaching us what can be accomplished by living a life in third place. You know, this testimony was so interesting to me profound to me, because how often in this world are we told and do we desire to be first? How often in this world do we desire to be number one? And we put so much attention and give so many accolades to those that are first. And yet here is a man who lived his life to be third. It was a powerful testimony for me. You see, because this testimony revealed the influence that Truett Cathy had on the lives of others. How he did this, why he did this, why did he live this way? Well, I believe I know the answer, and we're going to see it today as we look at the answer to this question that's on the front of your bulletin. As we look at, and as we answer this ourselves, this question of what is in your hand? What is in your hand? And I want to shift your attention now from Truett Cathy. I want to point you to Moses. I want to point you to God's Word in the book of Exodus. And I want you to think back about what you know about Moses. And I want to just give you a brief summary. Moses, the one that God chose to lead the Israelites, the nation of Israel, out of slavery, out of bondage, out of Egypt, from the oppression of Pharaoh. Moses, that Moses of the Old Testament. What do you think of when you think of Moses? Some of us may think of that movie back in the day with Charlton Heston. Some of us may be thinking of a cartoon. When you think of Moses, do you think of the strong, powerful, determined saint of God that's maybe nothing like us? Well, we know that's not his whole story. You see, what we're about to look at here, Moses' life was about to turn into a whole new direction. You remember that he encountered God in a burning bush. But see, so here we are. Moses' life was going to change forever. And that was no small thing as an 80-year-old man. But it had happened to Moses before. You know, think about when Moses was born. He was born to slave parents during the dark days of Pharaoh's persecution of the Hebrew people. And to save his life, what did his mother do? His mother hid him in a basket and put him down a river. And he was unexpectedly discovered and rescued by who? Pharaoh's own daughter. Moses moved from slave quarters to the king's palace. His Hebrew mother became his private nurse. She taught him that though he may be Pharaoh's grandson to everybody else, he was still one of God's chosen people, right? He was one of God's chosen people. And so for 40 years, Moses lived as a prince of Egypt. Life was good. Then one day, what did he do? He intervened on behalf of a Hebrew slave. And in that fight, he ended up killing this Egyptian slave master. He was now a murderer. And what did he do? He fled for his life. He fled to a distant land. And one day he was one of the most powerful men in the kingdom. The next day, he's living in the middle of nowhere. And life goes on. Moses settles down to life as a poor shepherd. He marries a local girl, raises a family. I can only imagine what memories he had. Memories of old. Memories of the grandparents, his children that I've never seen. Maybe even his upbringing in the palace and all the grand experiences he had. Maybe he even longed for those days again. But there is no way he could go back. Then one day, right, when he least expected it, God showed up. God showed up in a burning bush. God speaks to Moses through this burning bush, and he has some good news and he has some bad news. First, the good news. The Lord heard the cries of his people, his chosen people, how they were being oppressed and enslaved by Pharaoh, and God wanted to set his people free. But here's the bad news, or at least what Moses thought maybe was bad news. God had selected him, right? God had selected Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And so I want you to notice this. The burning bush, that moment, that encounter with God, that was a turning point for Moses' life. You see, when God revealed His plan and His call to Moses and how Moses was going to lead the people out of Israel, as you can imagine, maybe you've actually had experience with this. Whenever you have encountered a situation or an opportunity that seemed overwhelming, Moses started to make excuses for why he couldn't do this or for all the things that could possibly go wrong. But see, then God asked him this question, and it's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. And it says this, "The Lord said to him, 'What is in your hand? What is in your hand, Moses?' And Moses replied, 'A staff.'" And so, dear friends, as we look at today, as we consider the story, the life of Moses, and this account that we're looking at this morning, I want us to know that God desires to use all that you have and all that you are to bring hope and healing to a lost and dying world. God desires to use all that you are and all that you have to bring hope and healing to a hurting world. Now, that may seem like a very obvious and easy question to answer, right? Because Moses answers. The question that God asks is, "What is that in your hand?" And Moses answers him, "A staff." Okay? But there's something very profound that we see God doing here. Now, based on what you know about God, do you think God didn't know what was in Moses' hand? No, He knew full well what Moses had in His hand. And if we knew anything about Moses, he was a shepherd at that time. He was a lowly shepherd, watching the sheep, taking care of the sheep. And what did he have in his hand? Like all good shepherds had, they had a staff. Okay, that staff that they used to guide or to corral the sheep. Okay, to bring them back into the fold, to bring them back into safety, or even to correct them. God knew what was in Moses' hand. God knew that he had a staff in his hand. And so there's something really interesting that we should know here, that we should observe. When God asks a question in the Bible, it's not for His benefit, but it's for ours. When God asks a question in the Bible, it's not for that person's benefit. It's not for God's benefit. It's for that person's benefit. It's for our benefit. If you think about it, why would Moses be apprehensive? Why would Moses hesitate to follow what God had told him to do? As God called him to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Well, I can relate. Oftentimes we become paralyzed too, don't we? See, I believe when we look at what's going on with Moses here, and we look at his reaction to God, we see three choices. We see three choices that Moses was making in that moment. And it's these three choices that paralyze us from living the life that can bring hope and healing to this world, to a world that is hurting, to a world that is dying. There's three choices that we often make that limit the influence of what we have in our hand. And so there's three choices that paralyze us. And I want to share this with you. The first choice that we often make that paralyzes us is that we doubt ourselves. And if you like to fill things in your outline, you can write that in. Okay? That first choice that we often make is that we doubt ourselves. And if you look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses is doubting himself. Who am I to do this? Who am I, God, that you should call me to lead and do such a great task? Moses knew his faults. He knew his failures. He knew his weaknesses. And he doubted himself. Not only did he doubt himself, but as you look further at chapter 3 and you look at verse 13, Moses started to doubt God. He asked God, "Who are you? If the people ask me, who is this God that is telling you to do this?" Moses said, "Who are you?" Moses says, "What if I tell them the God of their fathers sent me and they ask me, what is his name?" And how does God respond to Moses? He says, "You tell them, I am." He says, "You tell them, I am who I am. I am God, the one and only true living God. And I am the one who has called you out. I am the one who will provide for you. I am God." God said they will listen. And not only that, the elders will listen. The Egyptians will listen. And when I provide for you and provide for your escape, the Egyptians are going to even give you all their treasure. And that third choice that we often make that limits the influence of what we have is when we choose to fear men. When we choose to fear man. Exodus chapter 4, in that first verse, Moses again asks, "What if they will not believe me? What if they will not believe me when I ask them, when I tell them that God has chosen me to lead them out of slavery?" Remember, God asks questions for our benefit. God in His omniscience, being all-knowing, being totally in control, He knew Moses' heart. It was Moses' heart that needed to be changed. It wasn't that Moses needed all these abilities and all these qualifications in order to lead the people out of Egypt. Moses needed a change of heart. And so God follows up all of Moses' questions with that one question. Moses, He starts off by asking Moses, "What is in your hand?" You see, God had something to teach Moses. Well, think about your life. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've been living life. You've been feeling like you are paralyzed. Maybe you're here and you're wondering what the purpose of life is, if your life has any significance. Maybe you're here today and you're holding on to something that's weighing you down. You're holding on to guilt. You're holding on to regret, hurt, shame. And you're tired. Maybe you're here today and you've spent a lifetime searching for happiness and nothing seems to satisfy. Maybe you're here today and you've allowed bitterness to take root in your heart. You're holding on to a grudge. You're holding on to some resentment that you have towards somebody and you don't even realize that it's eating you up inside. You're doubting yourself. Maybe you're here today and you doubt God. Maybe you're tired of striving so hard to please people and you just feel stuck. Graduates, have you ever been scared of the future? Have you ever been afraid or worried about the uncertainties of life? Well, when we look at Moses, we see that he doubted. We see that he had fear. And we see that he had choices to make, just like we do each and every day. You see, Moses was doubting and he revealed that doubt through those choices that he was making, questioning God, questioning himself, seeking the approval of man. But I want you to know, dear church family, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there is one choice that instead of paralyzing us, this one choice will propel us into that life that God has created us to live. There's one choice that we can make, then instead of paralyzing us, it will propel us to live this life to the full. A life of love, a life of joy, peace, patience, goodness, contentment, purpose, hope, and healing, significance, and satisfaction. and that one choice that will propel us into this life. It's a choice that changes everything. It's a choice that ultimately leads to the blessed assurance of eternal life with God, our Creator. What is that choice? That choice is to trust God. That choice is to trust God. And you can please fill that in. Trust God. You see, we can make those choices of doubting. We can make those choices of questioning God. We can always be asking if we're good enough to the world around us and to other people. But see, those doubts, those fears, those focuses in life will never lead us anywhere. And it's only until we make that one choice to trust God that we will be able to experience life and live it to the full. What do I mean by trusting God? Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, when I talk about trusting God, I mean trusting God for who He is. He is who He is. I am who I am, God says. I am the one and only true living God. Trust God for who He is. He's the Creator. He's the one that planned for you before you were even born, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Not only that, He's our Heavenly Father who loves you perfectly. Some of you who are blessed with a loving Father or knowing the love of an earthly Father, you know what I'm talking about when I tell you that our God is the perfect Father. If you can imagine how great your earthly Father was, think of how great and remember how great our Heavenly Father is. And for those of you who may have not had a loving earthly father, I want to tell you this. You do have a Father that loves you more than you will ever know. He is God. And He's loved you even before you were born. And He has planned for you. And He wants you so desperately to know Him. Who is God? He's the Almighty King. He's the one that's coming back one day to take us home. He's the one that's coming back to judge those who have rejected Him and those that have chosen to put their trust in Him as their Lord and as their Savior. He is the perfect judge and He's coming back one day. This is our God. Trust in Him. Trusting God, who He is. Trusting in who God is. Has made you to be who you are in Him. Who you are in Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus is God's Son? That He came and He died on the cross to bring forgiveness of sin so that we could be set free just like the Israelites are set free from Egypt. Jesus Christ came so that we can be set free from the bondage of sin. So that we can live free. So that we can have new life. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He has loved us. Perfectly, His plan for us, He pursues us. And not only that, but when you are in Jesus Christ, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you're part of a supernatural community. Just like we have here at Northwest. Trust God. Trust what He has given you. Remember the question that's on your bulletin? The question that I want you to answer? What is it that's in your hand? I want you to think about that right now. I want you to answer that in your own mind. Some of you may take it very literally. Oh, the bulletin's in my hand, Pastor Steve. You can see that. Or the pen. Or that donut that's in my hand. Some of you, others of you, you may be thinking about your career. You may be thinking about your talents, your abilities, all of those things that God has given you. Your relationships. Your networks, your clubs. But see, there's something else that we have that I want you to be reminded of this morning. When we trust God, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you have these things right here that I'm going to share with you. Number one, you have great purpose. In Christ, you have great purpose. What has God given us in Jesus Christ? He's given you great purpose. He's given you great principles. I'm talking about His holy word. God's very word to you and me that we can stand upon. That's useful for every aspect of life. He gives us purpose. He gives us His principles. He gives us great power through His Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we never have to be afraid because God is with us every moment. His Spirit dwells in us, equipping us, giving us all that we need to do all that He's created and called us to do. What do you have in your hand? Well, in Christ, you have been given His power. And not only that, but in Christ, you have a great people. You see, we weren't created to live this life alone. We were created to live in community, to live in relationship with one another. And that's one of the greatest blessings on this earth. One of the greatest blessings on this earth is a church family. The community of Jesus Christ. The body of believers. Where we can bear with one another. We can encourage one another. We can build each other up. We can admonish one another. Correct one another. Spur each other on towards the good things that God has created for us to do. This is what God has given us in Jesus Christ. He's given us life. He's given us purpose. He's given us His promises. He's given us His power. And He's given us a new community, a new people. And now looking back, in light of what I have in Jesus Christ, I think back to this man, Truett Cathy, that I read about on the Chick-fil-A website, where I was so impressed about the influence and how God used him to influence and still is using Truett Cathy, even though he is no longer on this earth. How his influence continues to impact the lives of people today. And not just impacting lives for this present time, but impacting lives for eternity. This is what made Truett Cathy's life so extraordinary. It was because God took an ordinary man and did something extraordinary through him. Because our God is extraordinary. God used Truett Cathy, how he was wired, his personality, his abilities, his talents, which on paper were not great. Nothing to shout about. God used an ordinary man to do the extraordinary. To influence the lives of so many different people for the kingdom of God. An ordinary man surrendered his life to an extraordinary God through faith in Jesus Christ. And in Christ, with great purpose, with great principles, with great power, with great people, Truett Cathy, Moses, and a multitude of people throughout the ages, and even people here, dear brothers and sisters at this church that you and I have all been blessed by, we see it. We see them week after week, day after day, using what God has given them, using what they have in their hand for God's kingdom, for His glory. We see these people sacrificing for the benefit of others, modeling the love of Jesus Christ, modeling the attitude of Jesus, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and to lay down His life. Dear friends, I want to share this quote with you. Someone said, it doesn't matter how long you live. It matters how you live. It doesn't matter how long your time here on earth is. It matters how you use it. And so I ask you, church, what is in your hand? What skills, what talents, what possessions? Your career, your network, your relationships, your intellect, your creativity. What is it that God has given you? And I want to ask you this to follow it up. Do you know what God has given you? And have you chosen to surrender it? Because what happened when Moses, when God asked him what was in his hand and Moses told him it was a staff, God told him to let it go. And when Moses let go of the staff, what happened to that staff? It came alive. It became a snake. It became a serpent. And when he picked it back up again, it became a piece of wood, a staff. You see, when Moses surrendered that staff, when he let it go, that's when it came alive. That's when what was in his hand came alive. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, what has God given you? What is in your hand? And are you willing to surrender it to God and see it come alive? See, that's the power of surrender. That staff represented who Moses was, his identity, his income, his influence as a shepherd. God made it come alive. God used that staff from that point on to point people to himself, to show his power, to show who he was, that people would not just be amazed that a staff could turn into a serpent, but no, that people could see those things and that they would give him praise. God made the staff come alive so that other people may have life and have it to the full. God has given you those things and placed those things in your hand, you, for you to manage as a steward. And our call is to surrender them so that we can see God change lives, so that we can see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, do you know that in Christ you have great purpose? You have His Word, His great principles, His promises. You have great power through the Holy Spirit. And as the body of Christ, you have a great people that are at your side. What's in your hand today? And will you surrender it to Jesus Christ? Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ today? Will you trust Him with your life? And will you experience the difference that God makes, that God can make in and through your life? Please pray with me. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. God, forgive us for how we doubt you. God, forgive us for the excuses that we make. God, forgive us for the idols that we make and have in our life, the things that we put above you and before you, the things that consume our thoughts, the things that consume our time. And God, you know our struggles, you know our hearts, you know exactly what we need. And so God, I pray that as we look at this part of Moses' life, we look, God, at how you provided for him so perfectly, knowing exactly what he needed, knowing exactly what he needed to hear and what he needed to see, so that he would realize, God, that you are real, that your plan for him is true, that you are faithful, and that your love never fails. God, I pray for each one of my dear friends here today. I pray, God, that you would help us to recognize what you have given us in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that as we recognize what you've given us, as we recognize what we have in our hands, that you would lead us to surrender it for your kingdom, for your glory. God, and that you would use each one of us, that you would use this church, Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, to bring hope and healing to a hurting world. And so, God, I thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you all to stand as we respond to God. If you would like for me to pray with you, I want to invite you to come and join me up front, and I'll pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. If you have a decision that you made or you'd like to make, I invite you to come and share it with me so I can pray with you as we sing.